Hallelujah. Do you want to give a hand clap of applause to our worshippers? Thank you very much. Do you want to clap for them? Hallelujah. Yeah, that was beautiful. I want to welcome you back this evening. Hope you enjoyed your break. Let me tell you something, the Lord is in this place. You better tap into His presence. Plug in into His presence. He's here. He's here to forgive. He's here to lift us. He's here to change and bless our lives. Make sure you pay attention, because the enemy knows that something's about to happen. So don't get obstructed by things going on. Father, I pray that your presence will be stronger and touch everybody on this ground, Lord, and particularly the men who are here, Lord, for you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your tender mercies. Thank you for reaching out to us. We would be dead in our sins. We have been really stubborn before you, Lord, but you have not left us. Your mercy is still strong, and your grace is sufficient, and your love is greater. Thank you for this very evening. Reach out to our hearts and change us, and by the time we finish, everybody will be blessed and changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it's a wonderful evening that God has given us. Can I have my iPad? Okay, let us go in the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, maybe from 8. Maybe from 7, just to get the context. It says in the New King James Version, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Verse 9, which is our key verse in our Male to Manhood. "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" He said, "Where are you?" If you have your neighbor, ask him, "Where are you?" If you have a neighbor, just tell him, "Where are you?" Yeah, the Lord is asking you, "Where are you?" In the world, especially when we are ending the year, when you are finishing the year, or when you have accomplished something, we always come and share the achievements that we have, got in life. So people tell you how many cars they've bought, how many holidays they've had, how many, new things they've achieved. But if God ever showed up into your life, he will ask you, "Where are you? Where are you?" Now, I want to, this was the answer. This was the answer. He was very particular. He said, "Adam, where are you?" Though they were hiding together, God called out to Adam alone, which means he was asking Adam, because he was responsible for what had just happened in the Garden of Eden. He was responsible because he was the foundation. He was in charge. He was supposed to manage, like we learned this morning. So the Lord asked the manager, "What had happened? Where I can't see you in the garden. I can't see you in my presence." So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you? Who told you that you were naked?" Because the Lord knew that somebody had whispered to Adam that he was naked. "Who told you? Because I never told you that you are naked. Where did you get that? First of all, where are you in my presence? I can no longer see you in the garden. Secondly, who told you? Who did you listen to? Because Adam was supposed to listen to God alone and God alone and nobody else. Brethren, brothers, as we seated here, who do you listen to? Whose report are you going to take? What are you putting in your head? What books are you reading? What pictures are you looking at? Who told you? Who did you listen to? And the Lord is here, is asking us. Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? It was not an easy conversation. It was not an easy moment for Adam, because he knew that he had missed the mark. He knew that he had offended his Lord. He knew that he had sinned. He knew that he could not stand in his presence. He knew that he had listened to somebody else. And he was there hiding and fidgeting and trembling and full of fear. But I want you to hear this. I want you to see the voice of God. Actually, Adam said, I heard the voice, as I heard the sound. Let me read it again. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking. Now, they heard the sound of the Lord walking. They did not hear the Lord speak the first time. They did not hear the Lord speak, but they heard the sound of the Lord walking. Now, in the garden, there were other animals walking in the garden. Elephants were there, buffaloes were there, the giraffes were there, rabbits were there, and they are walking. But Adam knew how the Lord walked. He knew his footsteps. And immediately he heard him, poof, poof, he knew that was the Lord. They had a relationship to the extent that he knew how the Lord walked. If you have been a parent, and you have family, for instance, I have a family, I know when my wife walks through the corridor. Terry knows my corridor because he has been to my house. When you walk through my corridor, when my wife Flavia walks into the corridor, I know it is Flavia. Now, there are other people in the house. When my Rebecca walks through the corridor, I know how she walks. When Moses walks, I know. When Jochebed knocks on my door, I know that's the knocking of Jochebed. When my wife knocks, I know. Because I am with them. I have a relationship with them. I have been with them, long enough to know how they walk, how their voice, sound like, how they behave, how they knock on doors. I know everybody in the house. When you come and walk in my corridor or knock on the door, I will know this is a knock of a stranger. So Adam knew how the Lord walked. He heard the sound of the Lord walking. And he hid himself immediately. Men who are seated here, we need to hear the sound of God. We need to be familiar with our God. Very familiar. Because he's our Father. When he moves, we must know that he's moving. When he has not moved, we should stay. When he moves, we must move with him. We must come to that level that we have a relationship that we are able to understand. We are able to discern that this is not God. Because the devil knows how to act like an angel of light. We must develop a relationship as men to be able to tell and discern the voice of God and the things of God from the enemy. It's my prayer that today God will bring us to that level. It's not going to be easy, but we are not going to obey the enemy. We are going to go into his presence. We are going to spend enough time. Thank you for coming over the weekend and spend this time with God. I think this should continue. You don't have to wait for another year to come. Keep this going. When you go back to your churches, ignite these fellowships. Begin them in your fellowships. Have men's breakfasts. Make sure you develop your relationship with God. Make sure the men come back. Because to be a man is even scary. Eve will cause something, but the Lord will ask for Adam. It is Eve who has caused it. But because Adam has to carry all the burden of the family, God is asking, I gave you the power to manage. Adam, where are you? But God is not calling Adam to punish him, really. He's not calling Adam to punish. Because he knows that his dust. I told you humus, which means that his humus is human. He knew that he's going to fail. So the Lord was reaching out not to hurt, not to blame, not to punish, but he was reaching out with love as a father. If you're a parent, you know this. Our children always wrong us, just as we used to wrong our parents. But like this father in the Bible that Jesus talked about, when the son returned, he did not bring out whips, you know, to punish him and cane him and ask him questions. When the son returned, the father's heart, he looked at his son, he looked at his image. When I look at my children, I see my image. I see myself in my children. When they go wrong, they are still my children. When they've done wrong, when they've wronged me, when they have broken the glasses, they are still my children. And I'll always reach out to them as a father. So the Lord was reaching out to his son Adam with love. Adam, where are you? I don't expect you to go out of my presence. And he had a plan in his mind. That's why the Bible says, to the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. There was a plan for Adam. Let me tell you, brethren, I want to encourage you. Yes, you have gone astray from the Lord. Many times you have, you know, missed the mark. But the Lord is reaching out and is calling out to us. Men, where are you? It's the voice of love. He wants us back. He cannot afford losers. We are in his image. We are his children and the sheep of his pasture. He's reaching out. It's not too late for you. We have not sinned more than his blood can clean. His blood is willing and ready to cleanse us. His power, his love is reaching out to us. Adam, where are you? It's the voice of love. It's the voice of healing. It's the voice of reconnection. Yes, Adam, you've gone away. You've gone astray from me. You've disobeyed me, but you are still my child. You are still in my image. You are not in the image of the enemy. I'm not giving up on you. The Lord is not giving up on us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Even though we have given up on the Lord, he has not given up on us. He's still reaching out to us. It's my prayer that the Lord will reach out into your hearts, in your dreams, as you read the Bible, as you go to work, as you board the train or bus or driving your car, you hear his voice calling upon your name. Because the Bible says that he calls us by name. He knows you. He has not forgotten you. I remember last year, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, we had a service at Brig House with Elim Church. And there was a mature man, you know, an old man came and he was crying. I was hugging me and said, oh, the Lord has forgotten me. The Lord has forgotten me. And I had to give him my, you know, a big hug, a lovely hug. And said, no, the Lord still loves you. I want you to feel my love. And I mean his love in my chest. And I hugged him for long and he was crying. I said, no, the Lord has not forgotten you. Those who are there, remember that moment. The Lord has not forgotten us. Don't you ever think that he has forsaken you. That your sins are too much that he cannot forgive, He's willing to receive us back, just like the father that received his son. And the Lord is going to throw a party for our return. He's willing to forgive and change and restore and reinstate us into our positions. Men are coming back to their positions, not by might, not by power, not by any teaching, not by anybody, but the hand of God is going to do it and will bring us back and we will shine again. Somebody say hallelujah. We are going to shine again. We are going to rise again. We are going to stand again. And we will serve him. And we will come back to our divine purpose. And our families will be restored. And ministries will be restored. Children will be restored. Wives will be restored. Families are going to be, you know, restored. And there shall be revival. Because it is the Lord is doing. And it's going to be marvelous in our eyes. Adam, where are you? It was a voice of love, a voice of healing, a voice of reconnection. We need that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, when the days of David were drawn near that he should die, he charged his son Solomon, saying, I go away of the earth. I'm going to die. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. prove yourself a man. You see, we're talking about father-son relationship, which we learn from God himself, how he loved Adam. And when David is about to die, he's calling upon his son Solomon and says, Solomon, I'm going to die. I'm going the way that everybody has gone. I'm going into the earth now. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to die. But I want you to be strong. I want to charge you men tonight that be strong, therefore, and prove yourself to be a man. We need to be men. God is calling us back. He's charging us like David is charging his son. And the Lord is charging us, his sons. And he says, be men, be strong. Do you know why God gave us, you can see we are muscular people. Our humus is muscular. We need to be strong, not just on the outside, but also in our spirit. In our spirits, we must be strong. David, a good father, charges his son to be strong and prove himself to be a man. Do things that will make you a man. Let me tell you something. It is very difficult in the 21st century to be a man. Very difficult. During the days of our fathers used to do manly things. You know, they used to go and hunt. You see, men are supposed to be hunters by nature. We are hunters. They used to go into the bush, into the woods, and hunt for animals and bring them home. They used to go and get food and bring them home. They used to build houses. And then the women would come, and the women used to stay home and do the house chores and cook and look after the children. The men used to come back in the evening with food, with, you know, holding animals. You know, they've been a long way hunting. And that proved them to be men in the house. But we are living in a day when it is very difficult to be a man. Very difficult. Why? Because now the women who used to stay home, look after the children, do all the house chores, and tend to the gardens around the house, they no longer do that. Now they also go to work. They've gone to school, which is really brilliant. I wouldn't afford a woman who never went to school. My wife, you know, is a professional accountant. That's why I married her. One of the qualifications, she qualified to marry because she was educated. I wouldn't afford somebody who will really be a burden in understanding. So now they've gone to school. They have nice jobs. They cannot stay home looking after children because they have to go and work. The pressure of life, you have to pay bills, you have to pay mortgages, and you have to clear this and that. So it's the man can no longer go to work alone. Now the woman has to go also to work. You know, they have been raised, which is really brilliant, and I really support that. So it's going to be very difficult because you are not the only one who is bringing food. She can also do that. So you are not so needed when it comes to just providing food, provide or building a house, because they can build their own. It's very difficult. You marry a woman, and you can't give her a house because she's got one. You can't buy her a car because she's got two. You can't give her children because she's got three already. Come on, add on the list. You can't buy her shoes because she's already got 20 pairs. You can't buy her food because the fridge is full, and the fridge itself, you know, she owns the fridge and the food therein. So it's going to be very difficult to be a man now, to prove that to a man. That's why the Bible says, if you're writing, you know, I'm not reading a lot of scriptures from the Bible, but I'm speaking them because I know them. So First Peter chapter 3 verse 7, the Bible says that men always dwell with your wives, with all knowledge, with all understanding. We are living the day, if you are a man without understanding, it's going to be very difficult for you to be the man in the house. Because providing for meals, for food, is not enough to make you a man. They can provide for themselves. It's not enough to build a house. I mean, they already have tools. You know, they've already finished their mortgage. So how are you going to prove? You have to be wiser. The Bible says, be with them with all understanding, with all knowledge. So I charge you men. One of the things that are going to prove you to be men is to have wisdom. If you are a leader and the people you lead are wiser than you, you are in very big trouble. Before you know it, you are going to be following. And that's why we have today many men that are following women. But remember, we are the foundations. We are the foundation. We are the leaders. We are the managers, as the Lord, you know, charged Adam. Very important. I charge you men, if you ever find a book, please read it. Read your Bibles. Make sure you have knowledge, you have understanding. Because the Bible says wisdom, Proverbs 4, chapter 7, chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is a principal thing. And in all thy getting, get understanding. Whatever you get, if you are getting a wife in your house, get her with understanding. You must have understanding. We cannot afford men who lack understanding. We cannot run the family today. It is no longer like it used to be. Very important. Very important if you are going to be men. So David is charging his son Solomon, prove yourself, be strong, and prove yourself to be a man. It's my prayer that God will impart wisdom in every man who is seated here. Hallelujah. Be present to your family, be present to your wife, and prove that you're a man. Don't prove by just shouting to them. No. If you have to say, I've had men say, I am the man in the house. I am the husband of this, you know, I'm your husband. Now, if you have to say that to prove that you're a man, then you have failed. You don't have to prove. Show it. If you are a man, show it. Don't talk to them. Don't tell them that you are the father. You are the husband in the house. I am the man in the house. You are trying to intimidate everybody. I am the man. You don't have to say that. If you intimidate them, that means you're a failure. Prove that you're a man. David charges his son Solomon. Prove that you're a man in your church. I thank people like Malcolm. He's a man who proves that he's a man. He will lift things, he will fix things, and he will go to places, he will drive, he drops us home, and still he has to go out and fix a few things. Prove that you're a man. Don't sit in the corner, intimidated, and full of fear, lazy and wimpy. Be strong. David charges his son. Come on, every man, do this. I want you to do this. I want to see your strength. Do this for me. Yeah. I love this man. His name is Schwarzenegger. Everybody knows Schwarzenegger. If you don't know Schwarzenegger, where have you been? I watched this movie, and I think it's called, I don't remember the title. I don't watch them so much. One of these days, because I'm busy with my Bible and learning a lot of wisdom. So I watched him one day. There's this man. You see, I like these movies where Schwarzenegger proves that he's a man. You know, it's not just, you know, lazy, and, you know, he's a Superman, kind of. And he has his enemy. He's also a powerful man. So he has been injected, and he's too weak, because they had to make him weak because of his strength. They had to inject him some chemical, and he was kind of getting weaker. But when he was being taken away from his enemy, from his rival, he looked back. He was chained and was taken away. He looked back like this and said, you know what? I'm going to be back. And they show this man, you know, swallowing saliva. You could see it here. He was so intimidated. The way he said, I'm going to be back. So I want that voice coming from men. We are going to be back on track. We are going to be back in the presence of God. Hallelujah. We're going to be strong. David says, be strong. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to be back. Come on, turn your just say, I'm going to be back. Oh yes, we're going to be back. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. Because we need to address these things. We need to address these things as men. That's why we need to come together and talk about these things. Let me tell you something. The hardest place today for men to return to is their home. Many men don't want to go back to their homes in the evening. When they finish work, when they finish whatever they do in the day, they do not want to go home. They are scared. If you love to go home in the evening, praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you. But most men, now don't just look the men in the church. Look, you see them going in the cinema. They'll be attending to football. They'll be sitting somewhere in the bar, you know, passing time. They don't want to go home so early because there's nothing good for them. Men don't want to go home. It's the hardest place for me. I don't know why, but we need to talk about these things. Men prefer going to the bars, going to the clubs and attend a football match, going to the cinema or go and take a drink or hang out with fellow men, and they're intimidated of going back to their homes. But let me tell you something. Most of the men, if not all, that Jesus healed, all the men that Jesus healed, even those who really wanted to go with him, he said, you cannot follow me. He said, after healing them, he said, go back to your home. Go back to your house. Go back to your households. Jesus wants us in our homes. Tell your neighbor, Jesus wants you in your home. Don't hang around in bars and football matches and places and fellow men. Go home. When Jesus heals you, the first thing he wants you to do, go back to your home. Why? Because our homes are our first calling and ministry. My home is not the church. I am a pastor. My first calling is my family. Not the church. I told you, when God created everything, he first created their environment. He created the water first before the fish. He created the earth before the plants. He created Eden, his presence, before he created man. Now, before God created ministry, he created family. Family is the best environment for ministry. If your family is not well, if you don't want to go to your home, don't go to church. Are we together? Are we together? Whoever Jesus healed, he sent back to his home. Go back to your people. Go back to your wife and your children. That's your ministry. It's don't follow me. Think about it. So stop hanging around. When you finish your work, run as fast as possible. Go back to your home. Go back to your wife. Go back to your children. They are craving for your love. You see, I'm saying these things because I've really failed these things in my life. I used to give all my life to the church. People could come for counseling. I would give them 2 hours and I'm listening, I'm advising, and I never gave my wife time to talk. My children were craving for me. They're craving for my presence. But when the Lord taught me these things, I no longer give people too much time. All my time goes to my family. It is my first ministry. My wife must get enough time from me. My children must get enough time from me every day, unless when I'm here. And if I go back 1 week, all my telephones are off. Everything is off. I have to renew relationship with my family, with my children, with my wife. Full week. I know I've been away for a while, but family first. Tell your neighbor, family first. Yes. So that's very important. We need to go back to our homes because that's where Jesus wants us. It's our first ministry. Let us enjoy our homes. I know there are troubles there because most men think the women are the problem. I come to tell you, women have never been the problem. They've never been. No way. Women are beautiful creatures. I can't imagine this world without a woman. Thank you, sister, for worshiping. You know, we are missing that voice. I know the worshipers here worship. We are doing really good. But when the woman, oh, yeah, they were doing very good. By the way, I enjoyed everything from yesterday. Beautiful. But how did you, we got the variety today. You know, it's amazing. It's beautiful. If we had no women in this world, all of you, sometimes I make jokes, but some men will not even take a bath. Some men won't do that. But we clean ourselves and put on smartly because we know we are going to meet some ladies on the way. You know, you want to be smart because you think about all the time you're dressing and washing yourself. It's like, yes, because I'm going to meet somebody. Put on nice perfume because, you know, you'll be meeting somebody. So we need the ladies in our lives. They've never been a problem. Let me tell you why they've never been a problem. Women are never, they never cause anything really. They are not, let me tell you something. How should I put it? They never initiate things really that cause trouble. I know your heart is opposing me, but wait a minute. Hold on. Stay with me. Women will always respond. Their lives, they are built to respond on what men do. Always. And God has given them to help us. You remember Jesus said, I will not leave you like orphans, but I will send you a helper, another helper. What did he say? Another helper. Now, the word another denotes that there is another helper somewhere as well. Another means they are not only one. Another helper. And the first time it appears in scriptures, it was when God said, I'll create Adam, I'll give him a helper. So just as the Holy Spirit helps the church, so the women help the men. And who brings the comfort in a home? It's the woman, it's the wife, it's the mother, it's the wife. I don't want to go to my house and my wife is not there. I feel really bad. I want to find her there. Having said that, I know some women, you know, can be really notorious. I really know about that. But women will always respond to what the way you behave. The way they behave is in response to how we behave. They're beautiful, beautiful creatures, beautiful people that God created for us to help us. Now, today they have their PhDs and they have the cars I've talked about. They have the houses. They have the wisdom. They have the intuition. They have that all the good things they have. God has created them and He has made them like that to be our helpers. Now they come with the PhD with all the wisdom to help you, but the problem is you are doing nothing. So how can they help you? Now listen to this. I know there's some women listening, but listen to this. Women are like incubators. Incubators don't produce anything. But you put eggs there and they give you babies. Isn't it? Oh, yes. Now let me tell you something. If you give a woman groceries, she'll give you a meal. Okay? Give her a house and she will give you a home. Give her a sperm. And she will give you a baby. Give her a sentence. She'll give you a paragraph.
That's true.
Is that true?
That's true.
You say one word, they will say 20. They respond with 20 words. Jesus just said one word. They respond with 20 words. They respond. That's the way they respond. They always multiply. God gave them the power to multiply. Whatever we give, you give them a teeny tiny seed. And they'll give you a baby after 9 months. Okay? Now give them trouble. You will get hell. So the hell you are receiving from them is because of the trouble you've given them. Now if you don't want what you are receiving from them, change what you are giving them. 1, 2, 3. You forgotten it? 1, 2, 3. Yes! If you don't like what you're receiving from them, change what you are giving them. I know what I'm talking about. I've gone through this. I remember when I gave trouble to my wife and she gave me hell. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. You don't want to hear what I went through. Terrible. She can mess up the whole ministry. She can mess up everything. She can mess you up. They have the ability to do that. If you mess up with them, they have the ability to destroy. Let me tell you, many great men have been destroyed by women. But there are also great men of God that have been really blessed by women. Many men have been blessed by women. So they be careful as you live with them, because they have the capacity to multiply. If you give them anything good, they will multiply it. If you give them something bad, I told you what you receive. They know how to turn hell loose. They know how to turn hell loose into our lives. So be careful. Prove yourself to be a man. Hallelujah. Are we together? So as we wind up, because we're going to have Holy Communion and we are going to pray, and we want to answer that question that God asked Adam. Adam, where are you? In the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible talks about the restoration of families. And this is how it goes. It says, "He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, that I come not and smite the earth with cursing." The scripture says that he will return the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children unto the fathers. Did you realize that the Bible doesn't say that he will return the hearts of children to mothers? Did you hear that? It says he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, not to mothers. But see where we are. All the children are in the hands of the mothers. The mothers have done very well. But the Bible says, unto the hearts of the fathers. Why? Because there's something in a father. There's something in a father that every father, every man must know. I know there are single people here. I'm very aware of that. But I also want to talk about the fathers. And some of you are looking after children. Okay? You're looking after children. But there's something that God put in a man that every child needs to taste of. There's something. Let me tell you something. A mother can give 80% of her time to the child. The child will only gain 20%. But if a father dedicates 20% of his time to children, they always gain 80%. That's how important a man is. Now, I don't talk too much in my house. My wife, I told you, you give her one word, she gives you a paragraph. So she always gives paragraphs to her children, and even me. She comes home after work, and she tells me all the stories that she's gone through. Some of the stories I don't want to hear because they're not really good stories for me. They're not making a lot of sense, But to her, it's sense. You know what I'm talking about. Women will say things, a few things, and you said, why did you tell me that? I didn't really want, one time I asked my wife, what are we going to eat tonight? And she told me, I went to the supermarket and I looked at the food there, and I looked at the fish, and I looked at the chicken, and I looked at the beef. You know what? I found my friend there. My OB was there. My OG was there. And we talked, and can you imagine? My OG got pregnant. She's marrying soon. And I ended up buying some cabbages, and so we are going to have cabbage. Now, you are wasting a lot of time telling me. Just tell me I asked, what are we going to have tonight? Just tell me cabbages. Don't tell me all the story. But those are women. Now, I've written a book about effective listening. I've learned to listen to my wife. I know she tells me stories that I don't want to listen to, but because I want to be there for her, because that's how God created them. They think differently. They do things differently, and we must appreciate their difference. They want to share everything. So by the time we go to bed, my wife is empty of her troubles and of every story that she went through the day. And I have my own stories, my struggles in the day. I cannot share with her because men don't share. And she's sleeping and, comfortably. And I'm looking in the night. I'm looking at the ceiling with all the troubles, church problems. And I'm looking for school fees for my children. I'm looking for this. We need to finish the house. All these troubles. And for her, she's asleep and peacefully. And I'm struggling because I won't share with her. You know what I'm talking about. So there is something anyway, even when a mother gives paragraphs to children, They won't take much. So I come home, and my wife has been struggling with the children because you have teenagers now. Rebecca is a teenager. She's 14. She's, like I told you, she's going through her crazy time. So I come home, and Rebecca's not listening to the mom. I say, Rebecca, I just call that. And she knows she needs to behave. Because the voice of the father, I love my children. I don't punish them. It's not the voice of Pastor George's father. But just say, Rebecca, and she knows she needs to behave. Voice of a father. I have authority over my children. I don't intimidate them. They are not scared of me. But there's something in a male's, in a man's voice. I say, Rebecca. And then everything goes in order. I think you bear witness with me. You've seen that. So he will return the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Fathers, pay attention to your families and to your children and to your wives as well. Don't accuse the women. They are not their problems. They are women who always respond, but we always miss it. And you must know that men think differently. I was talking to a certain lady who is probably listening to me, that next year, maybe sometime, we are going to also organize. We shall have one day, or maybe one day, men alone. Then next day, I want the women to come in. Because there's a lot we do not understand about women. There's a lot we don't understand. And there's a lot that women don't understand about us. A lot. And we have unnecessary breakouts. And we fall out over nothing. Simply because we don't understand each other. We don't know how they process their issues. They don't know how we process our issues. The more we are troubled and the more we are stressed, the more we go quiet. The more they are stressed and the more they are troubled, the more they want to talk about it. And we don't understand. And you may probably bear witness with this. Your wife may ask, you are quiet all day long. You are in the house looking through the window, thinking, you know, processing issues and trying to work out things in your mind. And you are not really okay. And your wife will ask you, hey, buddy, are you okay? So what's the answer? Yes, I'm okay. But the point, you are not okay, and she realizes that you are not. The more you are troubled, the more you go silent. So we need the woman to know how we think, how God created us. Did you realize that when we grow up, our half of our brain dies? Men, it's one of the things I'll put it on menu next year. It will be on menu next year when I come back, probably. Half of our brain dies. But the women, their brain works. Both sides work properly. So that's why a man can only do one thing at a time. You know what I'm trying? I don't want to be disturbed. When I'm watching telly, I'm watching a certain program, don't talk to me. That's why I'm watching my program. I'm watching football. Don't tell me there's no sugar. Don't tell me there's no milk. I'm still watching. I can only do one thing at a time. But the women are multitasking. My wife wakes up in the morning and she prepares the children to go to school and she has to make sure that they've had their bath very well and they are clean and the uniforms are ironed well and the shoes are okay. And she has to prepare for me a cup of tea in the morning and she still has to brush her teeth. So she's doing all this and taking the children and she's not messing up everything and she's still watching the news on television and she's doing everything properly. So when I'm shaving myself in the mirror, don't talk to me. Because the moment you talk to me, I'm going to cut myself. I can only do one thing at a time. Don't bother me. Because that's how we are built to think. That's how we are built to process our issues. So the women need to know. So next year, expect maybe the second day, we may invite in the ladies so that they may understand how there's a lot of things that I always teach about. Our difference, so that we don't fall out unnecessarily, simply because we don't understand. This woman doesn't understand me. This man will never listen to me. Unnecessarily, scuffles in families. So you have to be careful with that. Anyway, I'll finish with this. Judges 16. If you have your Bibles, please. I'm going to read this very quickly, and I'll finish with that. Judges 16. I think there has been something prophetic with the book of Judges today. So if you can find Judges chapter 16. I'll finish with that. Then we are going to have Holy Communion. Actually, when we are worshiping here, I saw kind of blood flowing down here, and I knew it was the blood of Jesus, and I was tearing down. So today we are going to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus as we have Holy Communion. There's a lot of things that are going to be cleansed in our lives. Right, verse 18 says, and verse 18 says up to 22, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. Yes, we are going to the resolution as well. So the lord of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she allowed him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said to the Philistines, the Philistines are upon you, she said to Samson. So he woke up from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. This is Samson. Then the Philistine took him and put out his eyes. Now, if you are carrying your own Bible, you can underline that. Put out his eyes. And they brought him down. If you're carrying your own Bible, please, when you go home and you are reading your Bible, underline these words. Put out his eyes. Brought him down. They bound him, underline the word bound, with him with brazen fetters, and they became and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after he had been shaven. I want to finish with this story very quickly. And now you missed my slides on the projector, so you can't see what I really wanted you to see, because I also know the visual effects. When I teach with visual effects, there's a deeper understanding of what I talk about. Now, Samson was a man of God. We all know he was powerful, killed a lion, lifted girths, and the spirit of the Lord used to come upon him. And most people think Samson was a very muscular man, like maybe Schwarzenegger I talked about. But Samson wasn't muscular. Do you think Samson was muscular? I don't think so. The Bible doesn't either talks about it, but I don't think he was muscular, according to what I understand. Because they asked Samson, where do you get this strength? If you cannot ask Mr. Olympia, these people here, the heavyweight. If Samson was like that, you cannot ask him, where do you get your power when he's muscular? Samson was like ordinary. And the only way he got the power was when the Spirit of God rushed upon him. Then all of a sudden, he could do extraordinary things. He used to do extraordinary things after the Holy Spirit rushed upon his life. Now, the devil planted a Delilah. Somebody said Delilah. Delilah in his life. The enemy knows how to plant things in men to destroy them. Now, a Delilah, don't think about women. Now, leave women alone. A Delilah could mean maybe pornography, could mean something different that you're struggling with, maybe something. A Delilah, those little things on our telephones, those little websites we go to and look at things, those small things that are destroying men. You always go to those things. So Delilah, according to Samson's potential and power and energy, could not destroy Samson. But those small things are capable of destroying us. Now, I want you to listen to this. Samson ruled Israel for 20 years. He was the captain, and that was the highest rank in Israel. But the enemy planted something. I want to go back where I started, because the enemy always plants something that will infest our lives and kill us. I want to be very careful. Look at the little, teeny, tiny things in your life that the enemy has planted. Maybe you are enjoying them secretly. Maybe nobody knows about it. Maybe your wife doesn't know about it. Maybe your pastor doesn't know about it. But you know, you're carrying something teeny tiny in your life. One day it may destroy you. I want you, as we finish this session, and as we go into Holy Communion to cleanse our lives, to drop the things. Let me tell you something. Samson was captured. Was captured, you remember, by this small thing, or this small, insignificant woman called Delilah. And Delilah represents those small things that we always keep to ourselves. You see, Samson didn't have a spiritual figure. He did not have a spiritual father in his life. He was driven by his passions. Though the Spirit of God was with him, but you can see him driven by passions. Now listen to this. I'm finishing with this quickly. The first thing that they did to Samson, and this is the enemy, this is what the enemy will do. They plucked out his eyes. So they took away his vision. This is what the enemy has done. He has taken away the vision from men. Men are no longer visionary. And once you take away the vision, when you are not visionary, when you don't know where we are going, Pastor George was teaching us to begin a new generation, begin a new era, begin a new standard, set a new standard for your family. I have a vision for my family. I have a vision for my children. I can see where we are going to be with my wife in 20 years. I must have a vision. And if you have a vision, if you are driven by a vision, you become somebody different. There are books I cannot read because I have to protect my vision. There are things I cannot look at because I'm protecting my vision. I'm looking myself. I'm seeing myself in 40 years to come. I'm seeing my children managing the things that God has given me. So there's no way I'm going to misbehave. There's no way I'm going to live just like that. I'm not going to waste my life because I've got vision. The first thing, if you're writing, the first thing that they did to Samson was to take out his vision so that he could not see. Because if your vision has been taken away, then somebody else is controlling you. So Samson, from that moment, he was being controlled. His vision was taken away. Number two, he lost control. Because once your vision is taken, you cannot control your life. You cannot control where you're going. Somebody has to control you. Now, the habits we are keeping to ourselves are controlling us. Make sure you drop them today as you have Holy Communion together. Number three, they brought him down. I told you to underline those words. They brought him down. Another thing that the enemy will do to a man after he has taken away the vision and is controlling you, he's going to bring you down. And this is where the men are today in the world. Men are being brought down from their position. They have lost their position. So they brought him down. Number four, there are going to be five points here. Number four, this is what they did to Samson. They tied fetters. They put fetters, chains around him. They bound him. And he lost his mobility. He was not free to go wherever he wanted to go because he was tied up in fetters. And this is what the enemy will do. He will tie us and he will make sure that we lose our mobility. We cannot move to church. We cannot move to places, good places. We cannot come to the conference. We are not free. Today the chains are going to be broken from us and we shall have our mobility again. Praise the Lord. And number five, definitely he lost his status. He's no longer the Samson that he used to be. And this is where we are. Men have lost their control. We've lost our vision. We have lost our position. We have lost our mobility, and our status has gone down. Now, when you talk about a man, who wants to be with a man? Who wants to be with a man? Even our children are shouting at us. They are calling us by our first names. We have no respect from our children, from our wives, from people. We have lost our position. Today is my prayer, and I appeal to you that we come before the Lord so that we can restore our vision as men. We can restore our position. We can go back to our position. We can regain our mobility. We can regain our status. And we may have control over our lives. But how is it going to happen? Drop the small, teeny tiny things that are not of the Lord and lose them. free yourself from those small habits that we always do and come back to the Lord. And I want you to hear the voice, Adam, where are you? And come back to him. Now, the last verse that you read, his hair started to grow because the Lord will be there. And Samson prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, hear me this once. That's what the Bible says. Hear me this once. Hear me again, O Lord. I've sinned against you. You see, when we become remorseful and repentful to God, is willing. Don't you ever give yourself excuses. Don't give yourself, because when you give yourself excuses, you have given yourself another opportunity to fail again. Don't give, be like David. David came to the Lord and said, I've sinned against you. And he was crying to God, I've sinned against you, and you alone have sinned. And he said, create in me a clean heart. The word create means out of nothing. Don't patch the old heart. Don't repair the old heart, because it's wrong. It will always do wrong. Take it away and give me a clean heart, Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. Don't take away the joy of salvation, but restore unto me the joy of salvation. David did not bring excuses. But you see, also Bathsheba was bathing in an open bathroom. God, don't you see the Lord? No, he did not give himself excuses. Today, no more excuses, man. We have missed it. We have missed it. We have missed our lives. We have missed the mark. We are coming to the Lord. Let us pray to God. Let us be remorseful and come to him. He is calling us. Men, where are you? It's the voice of love. It's the voice of reconnection. He wants us to be reconnected to him, and he will heal us. 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 And he had the prayer of Samson, and he gave back his strength. Thank you, Lord. Father, we need that strength back. We need that control, Lord. We have lost control of our lives. We don't know how to go back to our families. We don't know how to go back to our wives. We don't know how to talk to them. We no longer know how to go to church. We no longer know how to spend enough time. We are always looking at the watch, Lord, when the service is longer. And we scare our pastors and leaders, Lord. Father, we come back to you. You are the only thing that we need. We need to be in your presence. Help this man and help us, oh Lord, to regain our status. Lord, we are remorseful for the things that we've done. We've messed up everything, Lord. And we have been accusing the women, not knowing that we started the things. Because women will always respond to what the way we behave. Because as men go, so men go, so the women go. I want to take 1-2 minutes and talk to the Lord. Can I have you back to the guitar, and as we are also preparing for Holy Communion? Please surrender those small things. The Delilahs, you know them. The Delilahs, you know them. You know the small, teeny, tiny Delilahs. They have the ability to destroy your life. Is it possible to sing this song, Creating Me a Clean Heart? Is it possible? Or you have to play reading music? If possible. If you can't, please play anything. Only if you can. If you have another, pray that it's okay. But I want every man to take this time. Surrender everything. Surrender. We are going to make a resolution. We are going to read. I think the papers have been given to you. Is that okay, Niger? Have you given the papers out? The resolution? Because they have to read through. You don't have to read it. It's a recommitment. Do you want to do it after Holy Communion? I think you do it now. And we do Holy Communion. I don't know what's the arrangement now. Do you think we should do it now? Yes, a simple thing. There's a resolution here for you to recommit yourself to the Lord. Please read it through. If you think it's all right, you can do that. You see, in Uganda, we don't give the men opportunity to choose, because we know. But yes, we are living, in the UK now. I must be careful. Please read through. Don't feel imposed. Don't read it if you don't like it. But if you feel it's all right, you want to come back to the Lord, it's something that we have designed. Of course, following, because if you have seen this courageous movie, we took a few things from them and we're putting them together for all men to make a recommitment to the Lord, like David did. Let us ask him to create in us a clean heart. After this weekend, I want you to go back home a new man, a new father, a new husband, a new citizen. Please, I'm giving this time to read through. because we are going to read it together. Please, if you don't like it, don't read it. You don't have to feel forced to do it. But like I said, we start counting when it is paining. Then that's when we start counting. So when it touches your area of weakness, don't say, no, I don't want this one. Don't give yourself excuses, because giving excuses give you another opportunity to sin again, to fail again. Thank you, Jesus. So I would ask you to stand up now. I'll ask you to stand up. Have you gone through? You think we can read it together before the Lord? And as you see at the bottom, when you see at the bottom, you can sign your name, put it in your house, it's your paper. Make a commitment, recommit yourself to the Lord. I know there may be some tough things, but men should not fear tough things. When it starts paining, that's when we start counting. When it is going, when it's just flowing freely, we don't count. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I want to say something. Yeah, you want to come and do that, Major. Come and take the microphone. Yeah, bless you, Major.
So we just, you've all read it through, yeah. We're just going to say aye. We say our name and we read it together. Right? Just get us going with this. If you don't want to read it, like Pastor David said, then don't. But if you have people who've all read it. So let's just go with this. I, Nigel Turchin, commit myself before God to take full responsibility for myself and my wife and nation. I will love them, protect them, and serve them. I will teach my family the statutes of God as the father and spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay life down for her as Christ did for me. I will teach my children to love God with all their heart, mind, and strength, and to honor those in authority. I will work diligently to provide the needs of my family. I will be a responsible man in my church, community, and my nation. I will seek to honor God, obey His word, and do His will. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and have mercy. I will not involve myself in any form of immorality, but uphold the original plan of God for marriage between man and woman. I will pray and treat others with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those whom I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity, a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor Him, be faithful to His church, obey His word, do His will, and worship Him alone. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. This is your copy, please. Keep it, sign it, put the date there. I want to thank you very much for coming over this weekend. I pray that it will be a healing weekend as you go home. May the Spirit carry on with you. And I know I'll see you next time, but I charge you, go back, as you go back to your churches, encourage the men, start men's fellowships, encourage them. If you need any encouragement from me, even though I'm in Uganda, you can contact me. My contacts are in my books. Please write back to me, say, we are going to have men's breakfast. Do you have anything you want us to talk about? Because in the speed, there is no distance. We can always communicate, share ideas. And as you write to me or write to us, then I also one time maybe ask wisdom from you, because the ministry carries on. We are one family. We are one family. We need to encourage each other. Hallelujah. May the Lord God bless you. We are going to have Holy Communion. Phil, you want to come and how are we going to do it? You want me to? Okay. Do you know why we are going to have Holy Communion and why Holy Communion is such an important thing? Jesus said on that Last Supper, he sat together with his disciples and said, "This is my flesh and this is my blood of the new covenant." It's the new covenant now. And doctors have it that the blood of any child does not belong to the mother. Our blood is the blood of our fathers. The reason why the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us clean and wash us clean, because Mary did not add any blood in Jesus's blood, because the blood, science has it, this is where science agrees with the Bible, all the blood belongs to the father. Even though the baby has grown up for 9 months in the womb, it's the blood of the father. So the blood of Jesus is purely the blood of the Father. Mary did not add anything. That's why it is able to cleanse. It's able to take away our sins. And this is symbolic of his blood. And as you partake of this, it's going to cleanse our lives. It's symbolic of the cleansing that is taking place right now this weekend. Father God, we cleanse this drink that is now your blood and the bread. We consecrate it, Lord, from every bread in town and from every juice around. This is now sacred drink we are going to have, Lord. It's your blood. It's your flesh. It's the blood of the Father through Jesus. Father, as we partake of it, let our lives be cleansed. Let the veil go off the men. Let there be revival and renewal. The Bible says that we overcame the enemy by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our testimony. As we go home with our testimonies, O Lord, and with the blood of Jesus, the enemy is well overcome. Strength every man. There was no weakness in your body. There was no sickness in your body. There was nothing. And as we partake of this blood, O Lord, my prayer is we will be cleansed even of every sickness and diseases and every suffering, and all men will be cleansed. We know this is symbolic of your blood, but let something happen in the spirit as you partake of it, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think somebody needs to open up this bread. I don't know how we're going to do it. Come forward. We don't have to be so many there. Take your time. Make sure that you don't have to queue up for a long time, but come and take. And I want you to believe in the spirit that something is occurring right now. Healing is occurring. Deliverance is occurring as the worship goes on. God bless you.